Good morning. Welcome to this service of First Advent of 2017. Advent is a time of expectation, waiting for the light. We wait, and sometimes waiting is the hardest thing to do. You ever find that if somebody tells you you should be quiet and still, a minute seems like an eternity, and at other times a minute and even an hour or a day is gone in a blink of an eye. But Waiting for God coming into our life, that is a preparation time that Advent is there for. And so, as we go into Advent season, let us prepare our hearts and minds to wait for God, to wait for His coming into our midst, and to be still so that we might hear. Let us pray. Lord our God, with anticipation we look forward. With hope we live. And with disappointments we struggle. As we worship you today, as we commune with each other and with you, we ask that we are aware of your presence in our midst, and that you bless us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We will have a candle lighting and some reading and then a singing. The singing will be Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. In your bulletin, it only says Hymnal Worship Book. It's an insert, really, that is in most hymnals in the back pocket. If you don't find it there, there are a few copies up here in front. You can find them that way. Thank you.
Good morning. What follows here is a conversation between wonder and wisdom. How come you didn't laugh at wonder?
Hey, Wisdom, are you there?
I'm right here, Wonder.
It's so dark. I'm scared.
You're right. Sometimes darkness is a little scary. Sometimes it's hopeful.
Darkness? Hopeful? That makes absolutely no sense.
Oh, so you're content to stay in the dark?
No. I hope the light gets here soon. I want it right... Oh, wait. You.
Shh.
What?
I thought I heard something.
Are you afraid?
No. Well, maybe.
Maybe it's God, with handfuls of light, and that's hopeful, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Can we yell at God to hurry up?
Absolutely. Here, take my hand. Now go ahead and yell.
God, bring the light. Tear open the heavens right now.
Let it be.
Please take your insert and stand, and we'll sing Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness.
Turning blindness into sight.
I bid everyone a welcome to this service, and I would give the opportunity to introduce guests if we have any guests in our midst today. No guests. Most people, you have to bring some guests along next time. There's a line in here that says, introduction of guests. You can't let the worship leader hanging like that. Okay. We will, before we add the announcements, I'll go later, but I invite the children up now for the children's story. If you will join us, thank you.
Working. Good morning. Isn't it an exciting day today? A new big giant Christmas tree and a lovely display at the front of the church. What's coming? Christmas is coming, yes, exactly. And today, First Advent is usually talking about waiting. I'm going to be talking the next couple of weeks about one of my hobbies, which is crocheting. You guys all know that I like to make stuff with yarn, right? Before I have something, what is before a thing that I make with yarn? What does it look like? What does the yarn look like? Yes. It's just a long string. So when I decide that I would like to make something, I just have a long piece of string. And then usually with the help of some people or a pattern, I get to make something. My crocheting all started a couple of years ago when Ben was, about Astrid's age, and he was looking on the internet and he found somebody had made the Starship Enterprise out of yarn. And I think he kind of knew in the back of his head, because I had made him a teddy bear when he was little, that Mom knew how to do things with yarn. So he showed me the picture and my heart sank, because look, does this look like a very simple thing to make? No. But my son was looking at me saying, Mom, you can do this. So it was a long process, which we will be talking about in the next couple of weeks. The interesting thing about when I make something is that because I made it, I know everything about it. You look at it and you see a sort of a Starship Enterprise. But when I look at it, I know what's inside. I know why it's doing the things it's doing, why those things get to stick up, and why the white thing is there. I know everything about this because I made it. And that's like you. God made you, and he knows everything about you, just like I know everything about this pattern that I created. Could we bow for prayer, please? Thank you, God, for knowing each of us and delighting in the special persons you are, guiding us to become. Let it be with me, and let it be with us as you dream and desire. Amen. And now you can go and create a show for us for Christmas Eve.
I want to highlight a few announcements. One of the things is that Peter Thiessen is now at Bethania Personal Care Home. The name is there, but you might not have consciously noticed it, so I want to point it out. And then we wish to extend a warm invitation to all seniors to the annual Ehrenfest coming up. So you are to contact the church office if you want to eat something. It doesn't say that, but supper begins at 5:30 with a program to follow, and contact the church office if you need pickup. Church council is looking for people, so that is a very important job, and that represents the church, so you really want to give it your attention, point four. And then point six, The annual general meeting is announced, but more important than the date right now is that those of you who need to get the reports in, please look at that date, December 20th. They should be in. If you go on the back page, you'll see an update on from the Finance Committee. Now, I was just wondering, how would it be? There's a lot of money missing yet. How would it be if we really tried to see the church as part of our Christmas giving list? We buy gifts for each other. How much money do you spend? And maybe you can double that and give it to the church and have some extra gifts. We shouldn't be able to meet the budget that way. Now, if that is inappropriate to remind you in that way, I apologize, but I'm not feeling sorry. Is there any announcements that you would like to make or anything you would like to share with the congregation? Could you get the mic, please?
Adina Peters. I'm turning my back on the choir. I just would like to inform you that Matthew, Amber's husband, has been on his second day pass to go home. So he is walking with a cane, unassisted other than just the cane, and he's doing very well. He is still having trouble with his left hand. He can't make a real fist, but everything else is going very well, so we're very happy. Thank you very much for your thoughts and prayers.
Any other one? Then let us pray, and I invite you for a moment of silence before I will close the time of prayer. Pray for the things that are on your heart and on your mind, your hopes and your pain can be expressed. Let us pray in silence. Lord our God, we are your people. We come to you in confession that we sometimes forget that you are the Creator, that you are our Father and our Mother, that you are the one who loves us and who encourages us and walks with us. Lord, when we are ill, when we are disappointed, when we are angry, when we are hurt, when we are full of hope and full of the ideas that we can do everything ourselves, we ask that you help us to remember you and to put our lives into your hands. To be co-creators, co-compassionate, co-givers of hope, those of us who need the other will find them in you, and those of us who can give something will find it in our neighbor, our family, and in our friends. Help us that a giving spirit may take over in our lives, that we are forgiving, that we are accepting, and that we are full of joy to celebrate your coming into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is an exciting time of the year when we can look at the Advent and Christmas carols. Please turn to 178, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
We will now receive the offering, and during that time, the choir will be singing. May God bless your gifts, and may the gifts be a blessing to all of us.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come.
For scripture reading, you have two passages from Psalm 80 first and then from Isaiah. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 64, 1 to 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, so make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked of your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth, that we fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of iniquity. Yet, O God, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now, consider, we are all your people.
Well, I hope that after disrobing up there, everything is still in place. That things appear presentable to you. It's kind of different to have all these various aspects on the same morning, but all right. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Our God, as we come before you this morning, thinking about the verses of Scripture we've just read, we look to you for encouragement, and we look to you for speaking to us as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. So Advent has arrived, and we're choosing to use our Mennonite worship resources for the Advent season. And those sources, or resources, call us to remember Mary's reaction to the announcement made to her by the angel Gabriel that she would be the mother of Jesus. When she said in response, "May it be to me as you said." Now the mood of those words indicated a strong desire on Mary's part to be a part of what God was going to do. She was saying, "Yes," with an exclamation point. "Let it be." And so we are called in this Advent season to respond to God as well with a "let it be." We resound as we hear God calling us with "let it be." On this first Sunday of Advent, we are reminded that we need to be awakened to God's purpose. As wisdom and wonder talk to us, we heard quite a bit about darkness. And we are reminded that God's purposes often begin in darkness. New things often have their root in darkness. Think of an unborn child, or a seed not yet sprouted, or the human soul beginning its journey toward God. These are new things that begin in darkness. And if new things begin in darkness, then it may sometimes be hard to see them coming. We need to be awakened from our darkness. Now perhaps you are like me when it comes to awaking. When the alarm goes in the morning, you have no interest in waking. You know that waking is not really a bad thing, but it only becomes really good when it is slow and delayed. That's if you awaken like me. Hopefully that doesn't characterize our awakening to what God is doing in our lives and in our world. But the image does remind us of the way that we as humans may be slow to awaken to the work of God. The people of Israel, as demonstrated in the two texts we heard this morning, felt like they were wandering in darkness, not seeing how God was doing what they anticipated. Both Psalm 80 and Isaiah 64 were written by people in circumstances where they felt that God had removed himself from his people. Where they had expected God to act on their behalf, God had done nothing. Where they had expected God to make things better, things remained very bad. In Isaiah 64, verse 7, they describe their experience with God with the sentiment that God has hidden his face from them. Now, both texts appear to have been written in the context of the same disaster. The kingdom of Israel, the northern part of the previously unified Israel, was either poised on the precipice of being dismantled by the Assyrian Empire, or they had already been subdued and taken into exile. That depends on which date we understand for the writing. Probably they had already been taken into exile. And both the people of Israel in the north and the people of Judah in the south were demoralized by this development. They had grown up with the belief that God was ultimately on their side and would preserve their nation or nations when they divided as his own. They could not fathom the idea that a foreign nation could conquer either of their two nations. Surely, God would not permit this. And yet, it was reality. They were doomed. The text in Isaiah is written from the perspective of the northern people of Israel. That was upon them indicated to them that God had abandoned them. They felt keenly the need for God to come and save them. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down," they cried. They remembered the history of Israel when God had made himself known, when it seemed as if God had come among them clearly to intervene on their behalf. They thought of battles their kings had won. They thought of God's miraculous intervention at those times. They thought of the way that God had brought them out of Egypt and then had provided for them. They wandered in the desert after escaping their exile in Egypt. They wanted God to come and do something like that in their time so that they would be saved from the Assyrians. The text in the Psalms was likely written at the same historical time, but came from the southern people of Judah. They were not victims of the Assyrian aggression, but they felt the pain of their northern sisters and brothers. To them, the happenings in the north were all wrong. Like the people of Israel, they felt that God had abandoned them. He had gone into hiding or into a sleep and had failed to pay attention to the plight of his people. And so they cried out, "Awake in your might, come and save us." They wanted to know that God approved of them and would make things go well for them. So they pled three times with God in this text. "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved." Now, in the verses of that chapter that were not included in our reading today, they reminded God that he had put great effort into creating this nation of Israel. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had transplanted these people into this nation of Israel. Israel had flourished in that new land. And to the southern people of Judah, it was tremendously disconcerting to see this creation of God get ripped up. It felt to them as if God was not even aware. And so they prayed, "Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see." There is a sense of bleakness in these verses. They don't seem to contain much confident hope. Yes, the people speaking can imagine that God could get involved, but it doesn't feel much like it to them. They feel like they're in darkness. They don't see great hope for the darkness to clear. They need awakening to what God is doing among them. Now, we may join the people of Israel in lament. It's not always very clear to us how God is at work in our time. Darkness is present around us. We observe the Christian church in decline in North America. Fewer people are identifying as Christian in Canada and the United States. And in addition, many who still identify as Christian don't see the Christian community gathered like this as a place for them. And we wonder how God is at work if the Christian church's place in our society is lessening. We listen to the lament of Canada's Indigenous people, and we recognize that the Christian church has played a part in a system that sometimes perpetrated injustice against these people. We can easily despair of the fractious relationship that exists in our country between the Indigenous people and the settler groups, and we wonder how God can be at work when the history of the church in this country is tainted and when great reconciliation is needed. We remember international matters and lament when the President of the United States and the leader of North Korea are vowing destruction to each other, or when Egyptian extremists attack worship of a different strain of Islam in their temple. We wonder how we are to see God at work in the face of such violence. We consider the scope of natural disaster our world has known in recent months, and we shudder to think of the consequences. Entire islands in the Caribbean have been decimated by storms. Perhaps millions of Americans in the South have been deeply impacted by flooding as a result of storms. Thousands have died because of earthquakes. And we wonder how we are to see God at work in the face of such natural disaster. We are convinced that God wants this world to be restored from its big international issues, its smaller domains. And we want it to happen. We have a hard time seeing God's purposes. Now, the lectionary texts for this morning give us a few ideas of how to think about God in this situation. And perhaps I should remind you, when I say lectionary texts, that means four passages of Scripture chosen for this day in something that is called the Revised Common Lectionary. There's an Old Testament reading, a Psalm reading, a New Testament reading, and a Gospel reading. We read the Old Testament and the Psalm readings this morning. So those readings, while bleak in nature, did include some remembering of God's past work in behalf of Israel. From those readings, we take the reminder that God has worked His purposes in this world before. The Old Testament story recounts God saving Israel from slavery in Egypt and setting them up as a nation in Canaan. It also reminds us that God brought Israel back from captivity in Babylon. And we think also of the way that God used the church in its early days after Jesus' ascension to heaven, when persecution was rampant against the church, and God by His Spirit caused the church to flourish and spread. Moving beyond the biblical story, we remember how God gave strength to the reformers of the church in the 16th century. As they lived through persecution, and as they called humans to more clearly follow Jesus Christ, God's work through their faithfulness has helped to develop a worldwide church. So when we wonder how God is at work, we draw some encouragement by looking back at His long history of work with His people. We didn't read the New Testament reading assigned to this day, but in that reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, Paul offers encouragement to the church in Corinth when he assures them that God has equipped them with all the spiritual gifts that they need and that God is keeping them strong till the end. We can say that these are ways that God is working His purposes now. And the gospel reading assigned to this day, Mark 13:24-37, points to Jesus returning to earth. We understand from the biblical witness that when that happens, God will be fully restoring His creation. So the witness of our four lectionary texts for this day is that there is hope for salvation. God has provided salvation before. God will do it again. And in fact, in Jesus, God has begun the process of salvation that will eventually be complete. We will continue to look at what that means in the following weeks. But for now, on this first Sunday of Advent, we just begin to wake up to the assurance that God is present as we call on God to rend the heavens to be present with us in our darkness and uncertainty. Our God, You know what is in our hearts. You know that we wonder where You are sometimes, that lives feel like darkness. And at the same time, we draw encouragement from these texts that remind us that Your purposes are being worked out. Help us to wake up to that. In Jesus' name, amen. In our sermon time this morning, we have reflected on our longing to see God's purposes at work in our lives and in our world. With Israel, we have cried, "Oh, that You would rend the heavens and come down." As we prepare for communion, we are reminded that, in fact, God did rend the heavens and come down. Jesus came to be present with humans on earth and taught that the kingdom of God is present now, but not completely so. When Jesus was at the Passover supper with His disciples just before His death, He said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And then when Jesus gave the cup to His disciples, He said that He would not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. I think that helps us to see a connection between our sermon topic this morning and our time of communion. When Jesus told His followers to share in a communion meal, He was reminding them that they were continuing to wait for God's purposes to come in their fullness. His impending death would be a significant demonstration of God's purposes at work, but the final result would wait until the kingdom came fully. And so when we commemorate Jesus' death on this first Advent Sunday, we look forward in hope. We look forward to the time when God's kingdom will be completely and finally realized. And when we participate in this communion, we remember that the death of Jesus, born out of the love of God, made reconciliation between God and humanity possible. Now, I think it's a good exercise from time to time to make a public declaration of faith at the time of communion. We have a fitting declaration for this morning's theme in our hymnal worship book at number 711. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. 711. And we'll participate together in the statement of faith. We have leader and all segments. I think that's probably self-explanatory. Jesus taught us to speak of hope as the coming of God's kingdom. We believe that God is at work in our world, turning hopeless and evil situations into good. We believe that goodness and justice and love will triumph in the end, and that tyranny and oppression cannot last forever. One day all tears will be wiped away. The lamb will lie down with the lion, and justice will roll down like a mighty stream. True peace and true reconciliation are not only desired, they are assured and guaranteed in Christ. This is our faith. This is our hope. With faith that God's purposes are at work in our world, we come to the communion table as followers of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, living in right relationship with God and with each other, we come to the communion table to remember the Lord's death and look forward to His second coming and the final realization of God's kingdom. We remember the body of Jesus. The bread symbolizes the body of Jesus, a body given in death for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so we take this bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and eat it, remembering the body of Jesus given for us. So when the bread is served to you, you may choose the regular bread or the gluten-free option in the center of the tray, and then hold on to it until we have all received. We'll come back together and say a word of prayer of thanks together after you've received it. Our servers come and help us along.
A child will come.
need to check to see that everyone has been served. If anyone was overlooked, give us a sign. Oh. There is reason for doing that. Let's pray together. Our loving God, as we take this piece of bread and eat it, we remember the body of Jesus given for us. We are astounded by your love for us. We are awakened to your purpose at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We remember also the blood of Jesus. The wine or the juice symbolizes the blood of Jesus, blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we take the cup as a symbol of the blood of Jesus, and we drink it, remembering the blood of Jesus given for us. Our servers will serve the cup to you. You can choose a cup of wine from the outside rings or juice from the inner rings, and then again hold on to it until we've all received, and we'll pray together. Thank you. anyone missed in the serving of the cup. Let us pray together. Once again, our God, our hearts and minds are turned toward you as we drink this cup, symbolizing the blood of Jesus. We recognize our need for your cleansing and renewal, and we look to you as we drink together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue in prayer, and we'll include the Lord's Prayer here. We pray. Holy God, Lord of creation, you came to us through the life and death of the Messiah Jesus and adopted us as your own. With bread and wine, Jesus sealed your covenant with us. Gathered at his table, we remember his life lived and offered up for others. In dying, he set us free from death. In rising, he opened the way to eternal life. Send now your Holy Spirit on us and on this meal, that we might feed on Christ and share his bounty with the world. We ask this through our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
As our sending hymn, please turn to 176 in the hymnal, Comfort, Comfort, O My People. This song started out in the Renaissance and was probably first played on my favorite instrument, the recorder and tambourines, so let's not take it too slowly. Please stand.